We are not at a funeral today. We are not at a memorial. Although this particular reading that I'm going to talk about this morning, over the decades and over hundreds of years, has somehow managed to find its way into almost every funeral or memorial that you go to. And so everybody thinks that this is a funeral psalm or a memorial psalm. And the reason that I want to talk about it this morning is because it is anything but. And by the way, I also did some digging into the Psalms this week about the writing. And you know how we always give David credit?
Most of it, yeah.
For writing the Psalms? Yeah, well, not this one. It's way after the fact. But anyway, that aside, listen to these words. This is coming from the Message, which is one of the reasons that in my head, I realized that this is a psalm of affirmation and not a psalm of saying goodbye. God is my shepherd, and I don't need a thing. God has bedded me down in lush meadows and has found me quiet pools to drink from. And true to God's word, God has let me catch my breath and has sent me off in the right direction. And even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid, for you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies, and you revive my drooping head, and my cup brims over with your blessings. And your beauty and your love chase after me every day of my life. I am back in the house of God forever. Amen. Man, that is not about leaving this world and going to another world. This is about right here and right now, and what our relationship with God is all about. And I know, I don't know whether I mentioned this last week, maybe I did, maybe I didn't, but last week was a year since my mom died, and I know I mentioned it on Facebook, and the funny thing about it was, that was in the back of my head as I thought about that whole time, was all I could hear her saying was, "You need a haircut. You need a haircut." And she's right, I do. But then I saw Lance today and went, "You need a haircut." Dude, hair's gotten long. Anyway, she hated this when I did this. So I pulled the exegetical study, and I want you to hear this because I want to set up the rest of what I'm going to say today. According to the exegetical writer, ancient tradition in the title in the Hebrew scripture claimed that this favorite psalm was from the hand of David, Israel's shepherd king. Though not entirely impossible, it is unlikely. Reference to the house of the Lord in verse 6 indicates a later date and a later time, since the temple was not built until after David was dead. So, this is just so all of those out there that think the Bible is the inerrant word of God, every cross T and all that, and then when you run into something like this, you go, "Oh my God, he's..." Okay, look, we could still understand the word of God the way somebody told you that it went. Amen? So anyway, on the whole, the metaphor of the divine shepherd appears in many Old Testament references, especially in Psalms 100, Ezekiel, and actually a lot in Ezekiel. And this shouldn't surprise us because the ancient Israelites to whom the Old Testament authors looked for their history, talked about the shepherds and their flocks. And so the scene here, which is what I want you to pay attention to actually after we talk about all of this, is verse 6, which is what really means that this is about an affirmation of life. Okay? So, anyway, so there's that. Okay. This is why my mother hated it when I did the sex addiction stuff, because it just doesn't fit my style. All right, so. God is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. Amen? Is that not about praise? Do we not talk about that every week? That God has provided. God has given us everything that we could possibly need. Now, I know there's some people out there going to sit there and go, well, no, I don't think that's true. But it is. If you take breath on your own, you got everything you need. If you're able to get out of bed in the morning under your own power, praise God. If you are able to be safe and secure, praise God. The promise is there. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. Have you looked around to one of the praises that we have as a church? Every Sunday we get reminded of how good God is. The earth this week and last night got a needed drink of water. A little more than it needed, apparently, in some cases. But look at the vegetation. Look at the growth. This morning, as we sit out here this morning, there's bluebirds, robins, you name it, they're out. Singing and having a good time. The weather is perfect. Most of us in this church have spent the last year going through some pretty crappy stuff, have we not? People have died. People are sick. People are terminal. And the writer of this psalm, again, gives us affirmation. It's interesting, in one of the translations, they say, even though I go through the Death Valley, or however they place it in the older, it's the actual translation to the English is when. And it's not even though, it's when we go through Death Valley. We are all going to face those challenging times that end up with what? Life ending as we know it in this world. The affirmation from the psalmist and the relationship with God is we're not afraid because we know that God is with us. You're not walking alone. You're not doing this alone. I know that sometimes we feel like the world around us, because of the way people behave towards us, that we're alone, that there isn't any support. But understand that even when that happens, you're fully supported by God. God is right there to embrace you and make sure you get through it. You remember that old piece of poetry called Footsteps or Footprints in the Sand?
Yep.
I mean, what a beautiful, beautiful picture of what happens. You know, that guy's walking along the beach and he's talking to Jesus and he says, hey, listen, you know, I know that you're with me. Every time I look down in the sand, I see there's two sets of footprints. But listen, I got this one problem. In the worst times of my life, in those critical times, in those times that I didn't know whether I'd make it through, I'd look down and there was only one set of footprints. Where the hell did you go?
Amen.
That's the modern translation of that poem, by the way. And Jesus' response was, it was in those times of crisis, it was in those times that you didn't know what you were going to do, that I carried you. Even when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, God is there to carry me, to carry you. Yes, folks, there are people out there going to say all kinds of nasty things about you. You talk about being a person of faith, they're going to make fun of you. There are going to be people out there that do not like your sexual orientation. There are going to be people out there that are going to say that it's okay to make a law that says don't say gay. What kind of crap is that? People are going to say what they're going to say. Amen? You can't make a law against that. Oh, yeah, we're going to pass a law and get into a big fight as to whether drag queens ought to be doing readings in libraries. Hello, I got a message for the governor of Florida. You... I'm sorry, I got carried away. I got a message for the Florida governor. You're stupid. You do not know the difference between transgender folk and a drag queen. Drag queens are an art. Drag queens are an art form. Transgender is an understanding of who you are in God's creation. Yes, people are going to ridicule you. People are going to get on your back. But I'm telling you right now that according to the psalmist, God is going to prepare a six-course meal for you. Right in front of your enemies. Remember that they have tried to burn us out of existence, folks. But we could get married now. They were arresting us 50 years ago. We can get married now. They were hanging us 50 years ago. But now, we can walk down the street holding each other's hands. A six-course dinner right in front of your enemies. And finally, maybe the most important part of this verse for you to hear this morning, that no matter what your challenge, no matter what you are faced with, no matter where you try to run and hide when you get pissed off at God, yeah, I said that. Because I know there's people out there listening this morning that are like, listen, that's all fine and good, but God's not done jack for me. You need to hear this. God's beauty, God's love is chasing after you. Hallelujah. You don't have to get to church to find God. You don't have to behave properly to find God. You don't have to do anything, because God is chasing after you. And when God catches you, you will find that you are in the house of God with every breath you take. God bless you.